Well, one of the things I wanted to do today, we had shared one of the lessons, and I'm not going to go over it today, but I had shared some prophecies given to this church to kind of give you an idea of what God's plan is for this church if we believe and believe that he'll do it. God will work in those that, or through those that believe him. And so when God says, I shall do that here, well then, he's already given you his will. He's already told you, this is my will. Then what's our response? Our response is, I believe that. And then when we believe, then that makes us accountable in some ways. And also we need to have our hearts pliable such that we will respond to his leadings. Because all of the things that God, you know, God's, what does he require? That we walk by faith and not by sight. And one of the things that was interesting this week, God's not going to lay out his master plan. He's going to leave you, I call it like little breadcrumbs. Follow this. Just follow the breadcrumbs. Follow this over here. Follow this over here. And then when you get to a certain point, you look up and you go, wow. So God's going to, he has a plan. And so we need to be faithful to that plan, even when we don't see, as I call it, the big picture. When you don't see all of it laid out in front of you, you've still got to be faithful. Why? What's the main reason? Because we love him. That's really the main reason. He first loved me, and I love him, and he's got my best interest at heart. And so it's his plan. It's his work. It's not our work. We're just stewards over it. And he's going to work through us if we believe him, if we want him to. And so not only, I think, you know, it was something shared during this week, we've got to get past this place, well, I'm stuck with my own issues, and I'm still here trying to work them all out, and I'm just consumed with this, right? We've got to get past that. We've got to get past that. We've got to trust and believe God that he's going to work out my issues. Because why? Greater is he that's what? In me than he that's in the world. But the bigger picture is there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have never ever heard the gospel. They've never been exposed to the power of God. They've never been exposed to his goodness. We're carriers of that. We're vessels of that. And so we've been sent into this world here to help people. And so we've got to see that. And of course, one of the things this week was just, you know, shared all along these lines that even at the luncheon that Minister Joe was at, Doug Jones was sharing that he was just sharing a timeline of the population of this earth. He was saying in, I forget, 19-something, it was 1907 or something, or 1917, there was 1 billion people in the earth, right? And then he went, and then of the 20 years, and so he's giving this timeline and the population of this earth, and he said, if all things keep going as they are, he said, in 2019, I think he said, there'll be roughly about 8 billion people in the earth. So he said, isn't it interesting? He said, God has a master plan. He said, when he told Brother Hagin to start the school in 1974, he said, we have now, he's talking about Rhema now, and this is just as much as they know, he said, we have roughly almost 82,000 graduates out of Rhema. And they're being sent out into various parts of this earth. He said, so now with the increase in the population, you need more people trained to go out into this what? Increase. Amen. And so God didn't lay all that out. Brother Hagin, when he was alive, when God spoke that to him, he kept saying, I'm just one man. How am I going to do all this? How can I do this? They didn't have the technology that we have. They didn't have all of these technologies that we use, Facebook and streaming and all of this stuff. I get on when Vidar has his conventions in Nairobi, you know, I stream them and watch them. We didn't have that. I didn't have to go there. So Brother Hagin, when he was alive, when he said, they said, we're just glad if we have 50 graduates a year. Boy, we'd be doing it. 50? They're doing 400 and 500 and sometimes 1,000 a year out of Rhema. And then all these other campuses. He said, at any one point in time during a school year, all around the world, they have roughly 15,000 students in session. Every year, 15,000. So those 15,000 are going into various areas, churches. These are pastors, lay people, young people. They're going out with the gospel. Well, he was saying there's this increase in the population of the world. You're going to need more people. What does the scripture say? The fields are white with harvest, right? You're going to need laborers. But nobody, the Lord didn't say that, you know, to Brother Hagin, oh, there's going to be this exponential increase in population. We need more people. And he just said, start the school. And so it's the same thing. God has a plan, and he's spoken some things here to this church, this ministry. And so it's not by chance that we just happen to be on this piece of property that we own right here. It's not by chance. It's not by chance. It's not by chance. God's got a plan. And we need to just keep in mind that we all do our part, whatever God leads us to do, to hook in and part of that plan that he has for us, that we do what? We give our part. We give our time, our effort, our prayers, our money, whatever. We help support the plan of God, right? So that he can get accomplished what he wants to do in this area. Same in Nanuet, same thing. Sometimes people say, well, there ain't nothing going on there. I don't see nothing. Well, then, goodbye. I do. I'm serious. I don't mean to be rude. Just goodbye. Because when you get a hold of what God's doing, it doesn't matter what you see. You walk by faith and not by sight. You just have to know God is in this place. He's spoken, and I'm hooking in, and I'm going to give my part. Whatever that is, for whatever time that is, right? And so we have to be faithful to the plan of God. I know one of the things Brother Copeland spoke in prophetic word over this ministry when it started. It was when he did the dedication service in 1985. It was a very long prophetic word he gave. And he said, oh, you think that church in Seoul, Korea is so big? That's Yongji Cho's church. It's over 1 million people. He said, I'm going to do that all over the world in various churches. And he said, I will do that in this place if you will let me. Oh, so we all have a part. And he said, don't seek the biggest church, just seek me. Because when you seek him, then you have the heart of God. For what? For people. You have the heart of God for people. And that's really what we want. We want to have the heart of God for people, to help people, to be personable with people, to relate where they relate. When they hurt, we hurt. When they're having issues, we work with them. We help them. Right? People go through things. People get incarcerated. People have problems. People have issues. You help people. You don't judge people. You don't hurt. You don't start talking bad about people. What's your problem? Well, maybe they made a bad choice. But we're here to help. Help people. Help people with life's issues. Amen. So it's first off, seeing and being faithful where God is concerned and his plan. And so part of that is, and I had shared a couple Sundays ago, is that there's two things that we always want to have in our heart and pray for, is to pray these two things. Pray along and support, pray out the plan of God. So God has a plan. He has a master plan. And we want to pray that we see that plan come to fruition. That's just globally, and it's also here where we are. He has a plan. And then also we pray to do the other, and that is to stop the strategies of the devil. Because if God's got a plan, then the devil's trying to mess it up. And we need to pray that it's stopped. He's trying to mess up this country. How do you stop it? You pray. You pray. You pray. And you get in there with the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And it'll stop it. So let's turn over, just to jump off here, Hebrews 11:6. Let's take a look at this. You know, that's the wonderful thing when you get a hold of, you know, when you're in that environment of faith, you know, all of us need a good shot once in a while. And I'll tell you, it's just wonderful, because when you hear somebody like Pastor Benny talk about covenant, that he was raised in a hut, a mud hut out in the remote areas of Kenya, and you hear somebody understand that when I'm in covenant, what he has is mine. We share. Whatever he needs, I help. I'll give him. And what he has is mine. We're brothers now. And so we share and partake. So that means that whatever God, he doesn't have to, you know, please, can you help? No. Whatever I have, it's his. Can I have that? Sure. It's yours. We're brothers now. I don't even think twice about it. It's yours. Well, you think about that where God is concerned. Jesus paid for our benefits. He paid for our sickness and healing. I don't have to ask God, please heal my body. Please help me in the finances of my life. Please help me with peace. It's already been paid for. I'm in blood covenant with God. I'm an heir of God and a what? A joint heir with Christ. That means what he purchased, what he secured for me, I don't have to beg for. It's mine. It's been given to us. If it's been given, if you got food in the refrigerator, you don't ask, can I go in the refrigerator, please? You say, what's wrong with you? Open it up and do what? Take it. Open the refrigerator up. If you're hungry, you're going to go hungry. If you don't open it up and take the food, it's your food. You don't ask permission to go sleep in the house. It's your house. You sleep in it. You shower in it. You live in it. We live in these blessings. And you'll go hungry and you'll be sick and tired if you do what? If you don't appropriate, if you don't take what belongs to you. And if we could ever get that across, we don't have to beg for the blessings of God. They've been given to us. And we've been given dominion and authority. Yeah, there's a devil that's going to say, ah, you dirty dog, you don't deserve that. And you just say, shut up. In the name of Jesus, they are mine, and you're defeated. Leave. So we have the right to shut him down. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must do what? Must believe that he is. And he's what? He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And when we talk about faith in God's faithfulness here today, we're talking about the faithfulness of God and we're going to have faith in the plan of God. But here, this word faith also means faithfulness or fidelity. So this says here, but without faithfulness, it's impossible to do what? Please him. How do you please somebody if you're not faithful? How would you please, if you were not faithful to a covenant, how would you be pleasing? You wouldn't be. If you're in marriage, you are in a what? A covenant. How, if you're not faithful in that covenant, how would you be pleasing to one another? You wouldn't be. And so this says here, this word faith means confidence and conviction, but it also means faithfulness. And so we have to be faithful to God. And it says what? For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, one of the things I wanted to look at here, turn over to Mark 11:22, if you would. At Mark 11:22 and 23, but I wanted to focus on Mark 11:22, and it talks about Jesus beginning this after he cursed the fig tree, and Jesus was telling them that they were marveling at that. The disciples were reminding Jesus that he cursed the fig tree the day before. And Jesus' response was, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And then he continued and said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou what? Cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but do what? Believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then verse 24, he said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you what? You desire when you pray, believe that you what? Receive them and you shall have them. But this verse 22, when he said, have faith in God, or some translations say, have the faith of God, there is a translation, the Centenary translation, that says, take hold of God's faithfulness. I like that. Take hold of God's faithfulness, or on God's faithfulness. So our response, our faith is in response to his faithfulness. Our faith in God is responding that God is faithful. And my faith in that faithfulness, that he's a faithful God. And I can have faith in, you just think about it. How could you have confidence or conviction or trust in someone who's, well, I don't know if they'll be here or not. I'm not sure. How can you have faith in somebody that you're not sure they're going to show up? You can't be. Well, what kind of God would we have if we're not sure he's going to answer my prayer, be there when I need him? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I can trust God. He's faithful. And my faith is in response, my conviction, my confidence is that he's going to be there. God's always there to respond. It's always, I'll do it. He's what? He is a good God. He's good. God is good. And my faith in that goodness and my confidence is that he is faithful. And I can trust him. But I've got to believe that. I've got to, and my belief comes from what? My confidence comes from reading the scripture, feeding on the word of God. Amen. Glory to God. So let's take a look at this. I want to take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. Let's jump over there. You're in 11:6, but let's look at 11, 11, Hebrews 11, 11. And we're looking at Sarah. Said here, through faith, I'm reading from the King James, through faith, Sarah herself received strength. This word is dunamis. This is the power of God, the ability of God to perform miracles. It said she received this strength to do what? To conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Has God promised anything to us? Yes. And so we have to do what? Judge him faithful. That if he said it, he'll do it. I may not understand, and it may not be in the time frame that I want it, but if God said it, he's going to do it. And I believe him. He's going to do it. Hallelujah. Here's some other translations. The Knox translation, it said, she believed that God would be faithful to his word. Another translation, the Norlie, N-O-R-N-I-L-I-E, it says, faith also gave Sarah power to conceive after she was far beyond the years of childbearing. And the reason for this was that she believed that he who had given his promise was trustworthy. He can be trusted. He can be trusted. And because he can, we can have faith in him. Hallelujah. He will not go past, or not past, but he will not deny his own word. What he said, he will bring to pass. What does Isaiah say? He watches over, not Isaiah, I think it's Jeremiah. He watches over his word to do what? To perform it. He watches over it. If he said it, he'll do it. Hallelujah. Now that's the key. Did he say it? Or is that something you kind of made up? Well, then he's not obligated to keep your word. But he's obligated to keep his word. Amen. So God is faithful. The Lord is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13, you know, our unbelief doesn't change God's faithfulness. You know, if you get off in unbelief or you're not sure or something, that doesn't change God. God never changes. So our unbelief doesn't change God's faithfulness. Doesn't change it. 2 Timothy 2:13, it said, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. The New Living Translation said, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I like that. That's a little more plain, you could say. The New Living Translation. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So what is my response? My response is faith in a faithful God. My response is faith in a faithful God. And you know, what's interesting to me is when I look at certain individuals, certain people, you know, when I look at even myself, you know, when I think about some things that God spoke to me as a young man coming in, doing just menial tasks in the ministry, and then God said, okay, go over here and do this, or take this next step. I'm not saying it's the same for everybody, but God looks for people. God has a plan. See, he wants to do something. And I think about Pastor Clinton. He anointed him in the area of music, not just to teach, but in the area of music. I was running sound. I could have missed it, but I heard this down here. Every service, take his songs and copy them and then put them on a cassette so I wouldn't lose track of them. And I thought, oh, okay, I can do that. And I obliged. And then I started to share those songs with Pastor Clinton. He didn't even remember he was in the Spirit singing them. And then he began to take those songs and develop songs and further develop them. And those songs went around the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord went around the world. He didn't even remember how he sung it, what he sang, the words, the lyrics. And so I was thankful to be a part of that. But it took, God didn't say, oh, if you do this, this will happen. He didn't say that. All he said was, do this. And that's the piece where all of us are concerned when it comes to the plan of God, being faithful to that plan. If we are, it's not like he was asking me to do something unreasonable. I was putting my hands to a task. And all he did was say, do this. And then he would then, if I had this piece of the puzzle, then I took this piece, and then he began to anoint Pastor Clinton with additional words to the music and songs that he had. So we each have what? A part in the overall puzzle. We can't take the glory. We can't, because we weren't smart enough to think of it. All we did was do our little piece. That's all we did. And so we just have to be faithful to the plan of God, faithful to him, and say, yes, I'll do that. He's not asking all of us to quit our job and go, you know, to Africa or Europe or somewhere. He may, but he's just asking us, be faithful to me. I'm a faithful God. And he'll bless us. Amen. So when we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. Thank God. Now, let's take a look at, you're in Hebrews 11, in verse 11. Let's take a look at verse 17. Looking at the faithfulness of God here. Hebrews 11, 17, it says in the King James, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, or you could say tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises. So God promised him that his what? His seed would be like what? The stars. Yeah, he said your seed would be like the stars that are in heaven. And if you guess you're a person, you're thinking, what? How's that going to happen? So what did he say? He said here, he said, had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Well, now God's asking you to offer up the one that he told you the seed is going to, you know, is going to come through. And you're thinking, okay, God, what's up here? So he had to have faith in that. That God, it says here, verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In other words, Abraham was so convinced that God would not go back on his word, he's saying, well, if he's asking me to offer up my son, then he's going to have to raise him from the dead because he already promised the seed was coming through the one you're asking me to offer up. Yes, yes, yes. And to me, that's no different today. If God showed you something in your life and now he's asking you to do something that seems to run contrary with that, you've got to choose, well, wait a minute. Why would God show me that? And then this direction here seems like it's running contrary. I remember back in 1980, 81, I just had a desire to go to camp meeting. And, you know, I've been following the Hagen ministry for a little bit, for a couple of years, and I just wanted to go. And I had a little money in the bank. I'd been saving some money. A little bit. Piquito. And so when I got to the meeting, I'm way up in, you know, they call it the nosebleed section. I was way up in this arena, and I'm sitting up there, and, you know, you could see the stage from a distance. And Brother Hagin, this was Thursday night, and it was Rhema Day. And, of course, he said, okay, this is what he said. I'm sitting way up in this section, and I knew some people that were going to Rhema. So I went, and I was desirous to go to Rhema. That's not what I'm talking about here. But I'm sitting up there, and he said, this is an arena, probably 30,000 people. He said, there's 50 people in this arena that are willing to give, and he said, that'll give $1,000. And I'm sitting there, and it went, shh, and I went, no! I'm serious. It rose up so big, almost took me off my seat. And I said, no! $1,000, no! And I'm sitting squirming in my seat, squirming and squirming and squirming. And I couldn't sit there any longer. I had to get up. And I ran down to that stage and I said, I'll put my $1,000 in. It was that $1,000 that I had in the bank. I had $1,000. So my mind was, I'm using this to go to Rhema. I wanted to go to the school. And I had to take and empty my savings account. And I believe it was the best $1,000 I ever gave, because God asks you sometimes to do some things that are uncomfortable. And he has replaced that many times over. But, you know, at the time it wasn't comfortable. You just have to obey. You just got to obey. So you can see here, Abraham's faith and actions were in response to God's faithfulness. In other words, he's saying, if God told me to offer up my son, he's faithful. He'll have to just raise him up. He's going to have to do something. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 1. I want to look at Mary just for a few minutes. And then we'll look at Paul. Over in Luke chapter 1. And let's take a look at verse 28. This is when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. Verse 28 in Luke chapter 1. It says, and the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. I guess back in that day, if you had an angel tell you, the Holy Ghost in this case wouldn't, but the angel did. They didn't need a telephone. They didn't need a cell phone. The Holy Ghost here, and the angel, in this case, the angel, gave exact information, right? Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So you can see here that Mary judged God faithful. She had faith in his faithfulness based on the word that came from the angel. The Weymouth translation says, no promise from God will be, this is Luke 1:37, no promise from God will be impossible of fulfillment. No promise of God or from God will be impossible of fulfillment. The Phillips translation says, for no promise of God can fail to be fulfilled. If God said it, if he promised it, we just have to be faithful to his word. It cannot fail to be fulfilled. That the main thing with us is living in this flesh body, we want everything now. We want it now, tomorrow, you know, next week. We want it right away. God doesn't work that way sometimes, most times. You know, when I look at the Rhema ministry, some of these relationships they have, the strength that they have is that some of these associations that they have with these directors, they've known them for 20, 30 years. They're doing amazing work, but they didn't just start there. It's been slow growth. And so you'll find that with God, God is looking to see how are we going to respond to what he tells us to do with just a simple instruction. Are we going to follow, are we going to carry that out, right? Now let's jump over to Acts 27. Acts 27 and verse 21. Acts 27 and 21. And this is, Paul's on a ship. He's going to be delivered. He's going to Italy to be delivered to Rome. And you can see here, they end up running aground on an island, island of Melita. But starting in verse 21, it says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete. You should have listened to me. and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of what? Good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Should have listened. You shouldn't have set sail. But it's going to be all right. No loss. We had a young man tell a story. It's just the way his presentation. He shared this. He was from, where was he from? Colombia or Brazil? Colombia. Yeah, he was funny. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for what? I believe God. Say, I believe God. I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. See, if God spoke something to you, your response needs to be, I believe God, it shall be even as he told me. Don't you dare let the devil question that. If it was God that spoke it to you, then your response needs to be, I believe God, and it shall be even as he told me. That's your response. That needs to be your response. I don't care what it looks like and what happened in your life to squirrel things up and to maybe maybe it didn't come out or pan out the way you thought it should, you need to say, I believe you, Lord, just as you spoke to me, it shall be. A lot of times when God speaks something to us, we add to it. You know what I mean? We have this idea of how it should play out. You need to let that go. You need to just say, I believe what you told me, and it'll be. Stop adding to, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, it's going to be this way. You don't know what way it's going to be. You just need to say, I believe God. Right? So Paul, what did he do? He judged God faithful. Mary judged God faithful, right? So that's what our response needs to be. When God speaks to us, we need to be faithful to what he spoke to us individually and our part to play in a local assembly, a local church. What is our part to play? And we need to be faithful to that. As we're faithful to that, God will give you more. He'll give you more. He'll add to you. What does the scripture say over in 2 Corinthians 9? It says that as we plant our seed, as we give, it says what? He provides bread for our food. He provides seed to sow. And then he turns around and multiplies your seed sown. And he does what? He increases the fruits of your righteousness. So as we give cheerfully, not grudgingly, out of necessity, he does these things for us. So as we're faithful to him in our lives and faithful to his plan, he does all these things. He will give food for your eating, or you could say your sustenance. He supplies your sustenance. Then he turns around and increases your seed that you're sown. So in other words, if it's time, he'll increase your time. He'll give you more time. Right? God is not mocked whatsoever. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we need to judge God faithful no matter what it looks like in our lives. We need to stand flat-footed and determine that God is faithful. And let's look at one more scripture here. Let's take a look at Hebrews 10:23, I believe it is. Let's just take a look at that. Hebrews chapter 10. Familiar scripture verse. Hebrews 10:23. Well, let's look at verse 22. It says, let us draw near with what? A true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And then it continues, and let us consider one another to do what? Don't just provoke somebody. It says, provoke them unto love and what? Good works. Don't be a nudge. If you're going to nudge somebody, nudge them with some love and good works, right? And it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but what? Exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Glory to God. So have a heart full of assurance. Assurance that God is good. He's faithful. And he's going to not leave me nor forsake me. And if he said it, not one word of what God has spoken can fail to be fulfilled. In your life, in this ministry's life, I'm telling you, I like what Brother Pastor Hagin said. He said, look, if you don't give, it doesn't matter. We're not going under. We're going over. God is going to fulfill his promise. And it's the same thing. If you get laid off on a job, smile and say, that's all right. You don't have to be mad with them. They have a business to run. If they lay you off, God's got a better job. God's faithful to you. If you are faithful, he's faithful to you. Right? God will just get you a better job. So it's that we need to have faith in God that's good to us. He's a good God. And we need to, as we go into our areas of our life, that's the goodness that God wants to shine through and show through to other people. Why are you so blessed? Why are you so peaceful? Because God's good. He's faithful to me. It don't mean we're not going to have problems and issues, but people are watching how you walk through issues in life, how you handle issues, how you deal with things, because they're dealing with the same things you are. The difference is we don't serve the God that they are serving. We're serving a good God. We're serving God, the Creator, the Alpha and the Omega, and we're heirs of God. And he watches over us. And so I thank God. How about you? Yes. I thank God that we serve him. I thank God that we're washed in the blood. I thank God that he's watching over us and protecting us. Amen. Praise God.